Good morning, everybody. For the benefit of the visitors. Oh dear. If you have a digital watch, you will notice that it is 7 minutes and 40 seconds past 11. However, if you read your New Testament, you will see that they didn't have digital watches. And so our meetings on a Sunday morning always begin round about 11-ish. Which, if you live in a country where they don't have clocks at all, means about any time between 9 and 3. So we're on time. Now, we always begin with prayer concern, which is sent to us from the EFCC office every week. So, Lee Mill in Devon. Please pray that our ongoing preaching series in the book of Acts, called The Acts of Jesus, will know God. There are usually lots of typos as well. We'll know God's blessing in terms of attendance and also in terms of the word being sown and taking root in people's lives. Ashford, which is near Heathrow. Thank God with us for the many opportunities through the week to share and pray together at our several small Bible study and prayer groups, faithfully led. Pray that each one will grow more Christ-like in thought, word and deed for his glory. Pray for the church at Manathisa. Honiton are in touch with a number of people from outside. They have a men's breakfast, a ladies' craft afternoon, a Bible study that the pastor leads in a complex of retirement apartments, the mums and tots, and the care home for the elderly that they visit regularly. Each of these give the opportunity to bring the Christian message to unbelievers. Please pray that they might see some fruit from the above, that the name of our blessed Lord will be glorified. Pray for the church at Never Kellett. Union Leon C. Once again, they don't give us prayer requests, they give us a prayer. So they're praying and giving thanks for those committed Christians who attend. And pray that he will continue to shine his light upon them. They want to be guided so that they would be true and faithful disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ and obey his commandments. Birstall, please pray for wisdom as they try to plan future events. Pray that they will be able to attract people into the building from the surrounding community and that they will respond positively to the gospel message they hear. Pray for the church at Newton Ards. Crystal Peaks near Sheffield. They have been running Crystal Tots, their toddler group, for about 4 years. So far they've only seen one mother come to faith. Pray that the friendships that they have developed with these lovely ladies over the years will ultimately bear fruit. Stanwell, on Wednesday evening, Paul Davis from the Albanian Evangelical Mission will be speaking about gospel work in Albania. Pray for the Christians and churches in that country. Please pray for the church at Ogmore Vale. Amazing. There is a First World War memorial on one of the building's exterior walls. It has suffered erosion and damage caused by the weather and requires extensive restoration. The initial indication is that remedial work could be expensive. Please pray for the church officers as they seek the best solution and the means for praying for it. I'm reminded of the gravestone of William McCulloch in Cambers Lang, photograph taken in 1970. You can read it all. If you go there today, I think it's almost illegible because it's been eroded so much. So things like that are difficult to maintain. So pray for them as they consider that. Pray for the church at Oldbury. Quarry Bank. Next Saturday they have the Pilning Festival Choir Concert. Which is interesting because I thought Pilning was just outside Bristol. This is a biannual event and a good opportunity to invite folk along that wouldn't normally come to church. Please pray for this event. Rochford, please pray for them as they pray for their harvest services next weekend. Pray for the local homeless charity they support with the food produce. Pray for the church at Paglesham, which is not far from Rochford. Frogham are having their harvest Thanksgiving next Sunday. Please pray that others will come and be stirred by the Lord's gentle prompting. They also pray that those not already attending a church will learn more about God's willingness to guide every area of their lives. Stony Stratford, Saturday evening, they'll be having their harvest supper with Josh Fortune from Woolwich. He'll be talking about his time serving with the paratroopers in Afghanistan and his life since. Please pray that they would invite people to come and that they would respond to the message. Droylsden, their next preacher's training session takes place on Saturday morning. Please pray for its continued usefulness. Haystown Chapel, next weekend is their harvest weekend. Bill James from Leamington will be speaking evangelistically at the supper on the Saturday evening and then preach on the Sunday. They usually have a good number attending of contacts from their various outreach activities. And you may or may not know that Bill James will be leaving Leamington sometime. Well, I forget exactly what the date is, but he's going to be the new principal of what we must now call the London Seminary, rather than the London Theological Seminary. They seem to think that the word theological is putting people off. But if you're going to seminary, you go to learn theology. And the John Owen Centre is not going to be called the John Owen Centre anymore, because people think it's all about John Owen, and so now therefore they must call it the Pastor's Academy. So when Gary Brady posted a photograph of John Owen's grave, I was very tempted to say, you're not allowed to call it John Owen anymore, people will think it's all about John Owen. And in fact Bunhill Fields is full of nonconformists. And finally, pray for the church at Pontefract. Well, with those things in mind, let's turn to God in prayer. Let's pray. Our gracious God, we come together this morning, hopefully rejoicing in your goodness, mercy and loving kindness that you have shown towards us in the last week, and meditating upon that which is yet to come. We thank you that you have sent the Lord Jesus Christ as a sacrifice for our sins, in order that all those who repent and believe might know the forgiveness of sins in their hearts. And we pray, know joy unspeakable and full of glory, because we know our sins have been forgiven and we have a glorious hope laid up for us in the heavens, that we have no fear of what is to come in the future, because we know that in providence you rule this world and all that happens for believers is for their good. And we pray for your blessing upon us as we progress towards that glorious day when the Lord Jesus Christ will return and either raise us from the dead or take us immediately to be with him. We look forward to that time and we consider how wonderful it will be to be totally freed from sin, never again to be tempted, but always to be godly, always to be righteous, to be just like the Lord Jesus Christ is. And we look forward to seeing him face to face. We pray that this is the hope that each one of us has in our hearts. We do pray for your blessing upon those not with us today. We pray that you will be with them and comfort them and encourage them and build them up, that they might know all your goodness towards them. And we pray that you will pour out your blessing upon our friends today as they come to speak to us about the work of Operation Mobilization. We pray that they would be encouraged by us and that we would be encouraged by them. We pray that you will minister to us through them, and we will give great thanks and rejoicing to you because of the things that we will be hearing. We pray for your blessing upon them as they present the work of OM. We have learnt much about it over many years. We learn much through George. But we pray that there will be things that we will learn today that will be of benefit to us and help us in our prayers for them. And we pray that as a consequence of people going on short or long-term missions with OM, that many throughout the world might hear the gospel, that they might repent and that they might believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do hear us as we call upon you in all these things, because we ask them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to hand over. Oh, first of all, George, notices. George always brings his diary with him, so he knows exactly what's going on. Yes, it's our harvest next weekend. So, you requesting assistance on Saturday morning to do a display? Right. So just bring it on the Sunday morning and. Or just plonk it on the table on Sunday morning. Okay. Have you got anything else? Over to you. So the first hymn is number 61. Hymn number 61, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Now this is best sung in the Cross Street Chapel in Manchester, which is Unitarian. And Marianne did that some years ago because a Unitarian arranged for a visit to the John Ryland's library in Manchester, and it's very close, and one of the persons attending started playing the tune on the organ, and so Marianne picked up the hymn book and started to sing and noticed that they changed the words, so she made a point of singing the proper words. So number 61.
Oh, Thank you. If you're wondering why didn't they use the one everybody knows, you have to look at the date of Carl Gustav Oberg, who died in 1940. In 1977, when this was published, copyright was 50 years. A year of death plus 50 years for the author, so that wouldn't be a copyright until 1990. Plus, there was a translation of it, there's a copyright. And doubtless, they were charging some enormous copyright fee. And so Ian Harrison thought, well, I'll just write something that's based on it. And that's why it's there. And so the 70 years from 1940 would take us to 2010. So what Bobo wrote is actually copyright, but I suspect the translator probably died much later. And so the translation is to be copyright. Always important to be copyright. Having something from people breaking up.
So now we're going to sing hymn 664, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing.
And I've been working with OM since January this year. Becky. I'm originally from Northern Ireland, and I've been working with OM for 4 years.
I'm Hannah. I'm from Scotland, and I first got involved with OM last summer, but I've been with them since January.
So I just want to share with you this morning what God has done in my life, and to share a brief testimony of my life. So I became a Christian when I was age 8. It was really young. And during school, secondary school, me and school, we didn't get on. I was in the bottom set of most class, and obviously the teachers were more focused on them. And I just felt, well, I wanted to learn, but then they didn't care about me, and so what's the point of me wanting to learn? So I gave up, you know, in that aspect, and so I thought, what's the point? And so I didn't bother, and I got distracted with all the people that were messing around, and I left school at 15, due to my birthday. I actually got my GCSE results on my 16th birthday, and it was kind of a bit of a disappointment, I suppose. But I got enough qualifications to do a public service course, which is a course if you want to train in military, navy, fire service, police officer, that kind of thing. My dream was to become a firefighter. That was my dream, and that's what I wanted to do. I did that for 1 year, and it was a really great time for me. I loved it. I loved all the fitness stuff. I did training with the navy, did training with the army, and I really felt this is, you know, where I want to go. But unfortunately, God had other plans. So I did the foundation course, which is the course, the lower level course, and then when you pass that course, you can do a national diploma. So my plan was to do national diploma for another 2 years. But yeah, God had other plans, like I said, and shut that door. And they said that even though that I passed all the written work, and I worked really hard actually, writing, that doesn't come easy. But yeah, I worked really hard, but they said, no, we're sorry, we don't think it's right for you. So I was 17. And I needed a job, so I ended up working in McDonald's. I was flipping burgers and that kind of doing that kind of thing. And I remember at 18, just before I turned 18 actually, I said to some associate minister in church, what is the point? All my friends are going off to university, you know, I've got nothing, you know, I've got no GCSEs, you know, I didn't do well in that. And he put me in contact with a gap year called, with Church Army, called Explore. So I lived in Sheffield for 1 year when I was 18. And that was really great, but God really moulded me and shaped me in that. There was a relationship that got a bit messy. So that God really taught me in that as well. And God taught me perseverance, because it is key when we're following the Lord that sometimes things are tricky, things are tough. But perseverance is key, and even though it doesn't go our way or our plans, God knows best. So I persevered with that for 1 year, and then I finished that when I was 19. And after that, I had to get a job, and so I ended up working in Sainsbury's. I ended up working in Sainsbury's near me. I was doing night shifts, so I'd start at 9 o'clock at night and finish at 7 o'clock in the morning. And I had the best shifts because I didn't work the weekends. So I had the Friday and Saturday nights off, and I could go out with my friends. So I'd go out, you know, partying and clubbing and getting drunk and doing all the things that you shouldn't really do. All this, I was still going to church, and I was still saying I was a Christian. So I suppose the only word to describe it is a hypocrite, because, you know, you go out on Saturday night, you know, you get drunk, and then you come in at 3 o'clock in the morning, and then you'd be up in church on the Sunday morning, you know, like nothing happened, and worshipping God. And I just think that, looking back, it's not how we should be, and what God calls us to be in that. So that was, I did that for 5 years, and I fell into the trap as well, that I was in a good position financially. I was really blessed. I had a nice car. I had, you know, still didn't know my parents, so I didn't pay much rent, and, you know, life was good. You know, I could afford to go and do things, you know, that most people my age are probably still in university that couldn't do. But all changed when I was 23, January 2015. There was a lady, she did a talk in our church, and she mentioned that it's not okay to stay in our comfort zone. It's not okay to say we're a Christian and, you know, act like the world. She goes, it's not okay to just to not read your Bible, or not to do all those kind of things that a Christian would do. But then we say we're a Christian, but we don't do it. And it really was like God was, you know, touching me. It was like a knife straight through to my heart, and I thought, I have to change. And I approached some friends of mine in the church. They've been with OM for 9 years, and they had been on the ship Logos Hope, which is part of OM's ministry. And they invited me round, and they'd been praying for me for a number of years, which was really cool, that I didn't know about. And they felt it was right for me. So I prayed about it, and I just sensed that God was calling me to change my life and to be more like Him and be the example that He wants us to be and not live, you know, a hypocrite life. So I applied in January, Easter 2015, and it was like a domino effect. Everything went really quickly. I had managed to get the support, and then I joined the ship Logos Hope in September 2015 in Penang, which is in Malaysia. So that's how I ended up joining OM, and that's how my life and how I ended up following Christ. But through that as well, God really taught me that it's our example to be like Jesus, and it's our responsibility to be like He told us to be, and not to, you know, do the things of the world and say we're Christian. If you want to find out more, you can always come to us at the back. We'll be standing there afterwards. We have a book called The Logos Story, if you're interested in that. That's for sale as well, and that tells you all the brief history about OM and the ships as well. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Well, good morning, everybody. I think it's still morning, just about. It's a privilege to be here. I've driven past the chapel here at most days since 2009, and it's my first time to come inside. Yeah, shame on me. Yeah, so I've made it, eventually. Yeah, so thank you for the opportunity to share with you this morning. My name's Kevin Boyce. I've been with OM since 1994. We actually joined the ship, the Logos 2, at that time. And we came back onto dry land, as it were. A few things happened in between, Bible College and a few other things. But we came back here in 2009. And I work up at the Quinta, looking after people mainly. My background is an engineer. To share with Digby, I've been at Heriot-Watt, which he's also visited there at least once. And then they found out I had an engineering background, went to the ship. It was fate to company, really. I ended up in the engine room for 3.5 years and came up for oxygen now and again, but that's where I was. And one of the things I discovered was you can squirt oil at a machine and it stops squeaking generally. But I found people far more interesting because, it's the oil of the Holy Spirit that stops the squeaking in bad ways. But machines are machines, you know, and mechanically if something breaks, you can see where it's broken and fix it. But people made in the image of God are far more wonderful and complex. So God had laid on my heart to work more with people, the ministry side of things, and that's the direction we started to go. I just want to share a message this morning, a familiar passage, and we'll Matthew 9:35-38 should come up there. If not, I'm sure you've got your Bible. Matthew 9:35-38. And I'd just like to pray before we look at this passage together. So let's pray. Our Father, we're very aware that we're here this morning because of your grace. You brought us to yourself, you saved us, and you put your life inside us. And you've given us an amazing message to share. and we're very privileged to be your children. We did nothing to deserve it, but by your grace, we belong to Jesus. Thank you so much. And I pray as we look at your word this morning, which is alive, sharper than a two-edged sword, you'd give us soft hearts to receive what you've got to say to us. Lord, your word is not bound, and I pray that by your grace, we won't have any barriers. In Jesus' name, amen. And you know, however you describe mission, and there are many definitions out there, it's people living for Jesus wherever God has planted them. Maybe it's a matter of geography at the end of the day, whether we're planted in Western Rin or South Africa or South America. But we live for Jesus and we share the message. And that's a responsibility and a privilege. And if we're going to live for Jesus in this world, I believe there's one big thing that God wants us to have, and we find it in this passage. So let's read this together. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, preaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." And I just want us to look together at each verse in turn this morning. The first thing that I observe here in verse 35 is Jesus went out through all the villages and the cities teaching. There's a verse that says, "The Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world." The Father sent the Son into the world, he lived among us, he secured our redemption, and God raised him from the dead. And the same way, when we're born again, born from above, we're sent into this world to live for Jesus with a message. And we've got all the backing of heaven behind us in order to do that. Jesus said, "As the Father sent me, even so I send you," John 20:21. In the same way. And of course, we're all very familiar with the Great Commission, Matthew 28, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. John 14:15 says this. In fact, I just read this the other morning in the reading. "If you love me," Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's a challenge. The next verse, verse 36, I notice, it said that Jesus went out, but then when he saw the crowds, he wasn't sat in his armchair at home thinking about the crowds. He actually went out and connected, and he listened to them, and he had compassion on them, and he saw them lost. He saw them harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Remember the story in Luke 16, the rich man and Lazarus? There was this rich man who had all the worldly goods could buy. And then at the gate, there was a poor man, a beggar, called Lazarus. And Jesus says, tells a story that after they both die, Lazarus goes into the bosom of Abraham, goes to be with God. But the rich man was in a very different place. And this is what the rich man said, Luke 16:27-28. Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I've got five brothers. Let him warn them, so that they too will not come to this place of torment. He wanted people to know that if they died without knowing God, there was a place of torment. And that message hasn't changed. It was said of William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, he wished he could send his officers down into hell for a day and then come back and they would share and preach the gospel like they'd never done it before. I expect most of you have heard of Corrie Ten Boom. Have you heard of Corrie Ten Boom? And she wrote an article in 1972. That was the year I became a Christian, actually. In 72. I was 18. 17, 18. And she wrote this story called I'm Still Learning to Forgive. And it's to do with love and compassion and God's love. This is what Corrie Ten Boom says. It was in a church in Munich that I saw him. A balding, heavy-set man in a grey overcoat. A brown felt hat clutched between his hands. The people were filing out of the basement where I'd just spoken. It was 1947 and I'd come from Holland to defeated Germany with the message that God forgives. Imagine how difficult that would have been for a Dutch person to do that. And she did. And that's when I saw him, she said, working his way forward against the others. One moment I saw the overcoat and the brown hat. The next I saw a blue uniform and a visored hat with its skull and crossbones. It came back with a rush. The huge room with its harsh overhead lights, the pathetic file of dresses and shoes in the centre of the floor. The shame of walking naked past this man. I could see my sister's frail form ahead of me, ribs sharp beneath the parchment skin. Betsy, how thin you were. Betsy and I had been arrested for concealing Jews in our home during the Nazi occupation. This man had been a guard at Ravensbrück concentration camp, where we were sent. You mentioned Ravensbrück in your talk, he was saying. I was a guard in there. No, he didn't remember me, said Corrie. I had to do it, I knew that. The message that God forgives is a prior condition that we forgive those who have injured us. But since that time, he went on, I've become a Christian. I know that God has forgiven me for the cruel things I did there. But I would like to hear it from your lips as well, Fraulein. His hand came out. Will you forgive me? I wonder what you and I would have done. Your sister had just been murdered in the hands of these people. Will you forgive me, he said. And I stood there, I whose sins had to be forgiven every day, and I could not. Betsy had died in that place. Could he erase her slow, terrible death simply by the asking? Everything within me cried, never. He knew exactly what he was doing and didn't deserve forgiveness. Have you ever thought that of anybody? It could not have been many seconds that he stood there, hands held out. But to me it seemed like hours, and I wrestled with the most difficult thing I'd ever had to do. For I had to do it, I knew that. The message that God forgives has a prior condition that we must forgive those who have injured us. If you do not forgive men their trespasses, Jesus says, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. And still I stood there with coldness clutching my heart. But forgiveness is not an emotion, I knew that too. Forgiveness is an act of the will, and the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. Jesus, help me, I prayed silently. I can lift my hand, I can do that. but you supply the feeling. And so woodenly, mechanically, I thrust my hand into the hand that stretched out to me. And as I did this, an incredible thing happened. The current started in my shoulder, raced down my arm and sprang into our joined hands. And then this healing warmth seemed to flood my whole being. And it brought tears to my eyes. I looked at him. I forgive you, brother, with all my heart. For a long moment we grasped each other's hands, the former guard and the former prisoner. I had never known God's love so intensely as I did then. God poured out his love into Corrie's heart by his Holy Spirit. Romans 5:5. The love of God shed abroad in our hearts. Jesus went out and he had love for people. He saw them, sheep without a shepherd. See, dead people can't respond. And when before you're a Christian, you're dead in your trespasses and sins. You can't respond. But God uses people like you and me to share a message that brings life. And it's very easy for me, and I'm sure others, to sit in our armchairs or in our offices and be armchair evangelists and all the rest. But Jesus went out and connected. Verse 37. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the labourers are few. Therefore, go and sign people up and send them out to the mission field." No, he didn't say that. He didn't say that at all. I'll come on to that. He does say the harvest is plentiful. I just checked this morning, and the official from the United Nations for September 2017, the official population of the world is now 7.5 billion. Now, I remember when we joined OM, it was about 5, wasn't it? It's a lot of people. And the calculations are there's something over 70,000 people die each day. I know you can never get these statistics exactly right. Without hearing the gospel. That's a lot. Over 3,000 an hour all around the world. And there's a lot of people not heard. Over a quarter of the world's population, as far as we know, have never heard the gospel. So there's no shortage of people to reach. But I think our problem is, at times, we don't think people want to listen. And I can think when we were on the OM ship in an island called Canoan, a little island in the St. Vincent and the Grenadines. And we were with a local church doing an open air. A lot of people stood around. It must have been half the population of the island. And they were listening. And afterwards, we'd just finished the meeting. And this boy walked towards me called Oliver. And we introduced ourselves. And he said, "Tell me about Jesus." And I was a little bit taken aback. And I said, "Oh, well, what do you want to know?" Or what? He says, "Anything, anything." He was so in earnest. "Anything. Just tell me about Jesus." And if that church team and us hadn't been there, there would have been no conversation. I'm sure God had a plan. People in Brazil, we joined the ship, we went to Brazil. We come from Western Europe, very cerebral. I've done open air meetings here, as I'm sure some of you have, where there's a group of you and you do the sketchboard or the preaching, and the crowd's passing, to say the least. In fact, most people are not the least bit interested. So preoccupied with material things and other issues, they just walk past. If you get two or three, it's been a good day. Although I remember going to Llandudno on beach missions, UBM, and we used to get good numbers there. But they were mainly churchgoers. Brazil, you start an open air meeting, you get 50, 60, 70 people, and you've got tracts in your hand in their language, and they come and take them off you. There's a great spiritual awareness. I learned since that it wasn't always a good spiritual awareness, because the occult's rife and all the rest of it, but they're not so materialistic as we are, and they wanted to know. And I'll tell you something else. You and I wanted to know. That's why we're here. And somebody told us about Jesus. And the person that told us about Jesus was told by somebody else. And so it goes back and back. And I suppose in theory it goes back to the first missionary that came to this land. And there are many places that haven't had any missionaries yet. I'm not saying we have to go to those places. And many places that need more workers to work alongside. And maybe that's places in the UK, maybe it's overseas. But Jesus, even then, said the harvest is plentiful. The labourers are few. Next verse, 38. Therefore pray earnestly for the Lord of the harvest to send out missionaries, to send out labourers. And I don't know how I'm doing for time here. I've got a very short, less than 4 minutes, not yet, John Piper video on prayer. But I'll just share one story here, and I'm sure you could all share stories, about the importance of prayer. And it goes back to Brazil again, when we joined the ship. And we'd been in various ports, and lots of people had come on board, about 8,000 people a day, to the book fair and to the conferences and all the rest of it. And fantastic time. And the church is working with us, lots to follow up, people making professions. And we were sailing up to a port called Vitória in Brazil. And as we were sailing there, we didn't have internet in those days and mobile phones and stuff. There was a satellite phone to the bridge, which is more an emergency thing. Cost an arm and a leg, I think, to use it, but it was there. And a phone call came from the lineup team in Vitória, which is the advanced preparation team. They're the people gone ahead to work together with the churches and all the rest of it. And the message was this. The immigration and the customs have gone on strike, and you can't come. Well, we were on our way, all excited, thinking God wants us, you know, it's all happening here. And right in the middle of the voyage, we got this information. So the captain and the director called us all to prayer in the main meeting room. The guys in the engine room and one or two others had to continue. The people steering the ship continued doing what they had to do. But the rest of us were really upset. And we just went up, and there wasn't a lot of etiquette, but we just cried out to the Lord, please open the door, please open the door. Why is this happening? Why? And I had a real sense of a spiritual battle there. And as we were praying, I think it was about 40 minutes into it, there was another phone call to the bridge from the lineup team, saying they'd really felt they should go again to the immigration and customs. And they'd gone back to them, and said, we're a missionary ship, we're bringing good news and good books, and to bless the people in Vitória, please, is there any way? Come in. And they listened to our team and said, well, we like what you're doing. And for you, we will break the strike and we'll clear the ship. So we're sailing to Vitória, and there's all these cargo ships out at anchor waiting for this strike to finish. They've not been able to. We sailed through them all, alongside, I think it was one customs man and one immigration man, came up. We did all the paperwork, looked at the passports, all the documents. They walked back down the gangway, went on strike, and we proceeded with our ministry. We were there for 2 weeks, and it was another 8,000 people a day coming. Lots of professions of faith in the gospel flow, as we call it. End of 2 weeks, just over 2 weeks, they're still on strike. So the lineup, we can't leave without them coming on board, you see. So the lineup people went back to them and said, you know, another favour. I said, yeah, sure. They came, did all the paperwork. And we sailed out through exactly the same cargo ships that were there 2 weeks previously. And the question is this: if we hadn't prayed, would that have happened? Now you might say, oh well, we don't really know, you know, maybe God would have worked that out. So I want to show this short video from John Piper, and then bring things to a conclusion.
Can you hear it or not? Not really.
So, what is the one big thing we need if we're going to live for Jesus? Well, I think it's this. We need to have a heart like Jesus. A heart that's available to the Father, responsive, obedient. A heart that has love for people like Jesus had. A heart that sees prayer permission as a priority. We can pray. We should pray. We can give. We can send as a church, Romans 10, and we can go. And all that God wants us to be is available and trusting Him. Being confident of this, Philippians 1:6. That he that begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Let's pray and then we'll sing our final hymn. Is that it then? Is there anything else? One more thing. Let's just pray. Lord, your word is rightly very challenging. It's very profound, very simple in many ways, what we're supposed to do. And I just pray, Lord, that you give us hearts that seek you in prayer, that are obedient. Lord, we've all got a long way to go, but help us to get the orientation right and the direction, to live lives that are honouring to you, taking the opportunities that you give. Give us hearts that love people. Jesus died on a cross because you so loved the world. You gave your only begotten Son, your God of love. Give us that love, we pray, in Jesus' name. And Lord, is anybody here that you're especially speaking to about getting more involved in mission or some work here? I pray that you would work with them and reveal to them the way ahead as they seek you. Set us praying. Give us hearts of prayer to seek the living God. And may you have all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Okay.
Hello. This is very new for me, being in this machine. So I'm a little nervous. I'm from Romania, and I'm so happy to be here in this country and to see your culture and how you guys organize. And yeah, it's a new thing for me, and it's a great thing for me. I would like to speak about the beginning when I start in MDT this year in January. I start with OM, and it's a program called MDT, which comes from Mission Discipleship Training. It's a program for young people. I see some young people here. It's for 5 months, and it allows you to live together with other 16, 15 people which come from other countries, and it's a cross-cultural experience while you can visit a lot of places, a lot of people, and you can serve God for a short term. I will speak about when I was, and we went in an outreach, which was for 2 weeks, and it was in Romania, in my country. This MDT, the program that I followed, was in Romania and Moldova, two countries together. I don't know if you know where is Romania on the map, kind of. Okay, it's next to Ukraine and Hungary and Moldova. Yeah, these are the neighbors that we have. We were in this outreach, and my story is also about prayer. As a missionary, I consider myself a missionary because I'm trying to go and see what God has for me to speak the gospel. So as a missionary, my life of prayer, I suppose it has to be a very active life, and I'm trying to do this as much as possible as I can. Prayer, I think without prayer, life is nothing. And I will say this, nobody can be higher spiritually than his prayer life. Nobody can be more than prayer. So I really, I don't know the word, when you count on something, or when you really hang yourself on these words from the Bible, from 1 John chapter 3, 25, 21, 22. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. These are the words that when I come before God to pray for somebody or for something, I count on these words, because he told us that if our hearts condemn not, then we have confidence. So I went on this, we were walking on the in the village to see, we just arrived in the village to see what can we do for God, what can we do for this village, and how can we can show God's love. And I saw a very dirty, full of rubbish field, which was very nice. It looked very nice as nature, but everything around was rubbish. So one idea came to my mind, and I think it was from God, it was not from me, because normally I wouldn't do this, to clean the field. So next evening I proposed to my colleagues, let's clean this field, let's do it for these people, and they agree. Next 3 days, what we did? We were with gloves and sacks and cleaning all the garbage, and people were like, why are they doing this? Who are these people, strangers, speaking English, they clean here for us? So they were all asking, why are you doing this? And every time we say we are friends with pastor, and we do it for God and for you, because we love you and God loves you and He gives you a beautiful nature. And I didn't know why I feel to do this, but the last day when I do this, a man came on the field. He was like 45 around, and I knew his child came to our programs. He was old, and he came with how do you call it? Wheelbarrow. Yes, and he had this wheelbarrow full of garbage, and he was like, "Well, I came to throw this garbage, but I'm ashamed because you're cleaning, and so I'm ashamed. And why are you guys doing this?" So we say, explain, well, we are doing this because we are children of God and we love this village and we love these people and we came to serve you. And yeah, we came to serve you and show you the beauty that God brought to you. He was very impressed and he asked me, are you friend with a pastor? And we said, yeah, we visited. We are actually living at a pastor, in the pastor's house. So he said, you know, once I read the Bible also. And for me, this was a tick. Yeah, that's why God wants me to be here. That's why God has directed all this stuff, that I'm here, and that we are here, and that we can speak with this man, at least. And I tell him, oh yeah, how come this? You read the Bible, how did you understand? I was very excited in my heart, because I didn't expect it to preach the gospel in the garbage field. So he say, well, I was a Jehovah Witness, and I never could accomplish all the commandments from the Bible, so I gave up, but I read it all, but you know what? Everything that I asked from God since I was a child, now I have, I receive it. He said, everything I ask, I have it. And I asked him about his prayer life, and he say, sometimes I pray, and he was smoking continually, cigarette after cigarette. He said, I know I'm a sinner. I know God look at me, and He knows I'm a sinner. I know He knows me. But what can I do? I cannot keep all the commandments. So everything that he say from me was, okay, what do I tell him now? How can I explain it that it's not by our will, it's not by our power? So I asked him, can I pray for you? And the only thing what I failed to do in that moment was to pray. So I touched his arm, that's what I failed to do, and I prayed for him. And the words came from God, the prayer was very easy. God helped me the Holy Spirit was helping me to pray, to intercede for this man. And as soon as we finished the prayer, he said, well, I don't know what happened, but I felt like a heat going to my body. And for me, this was very easy to explain. And then I say, well, this is the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, we cannot do all these commandments. We cannot do this. This is the power. We receive power from God. We receive power to be righteous. We cannot make ourselves righteous. We cannot do all these things from the Bible. We cannot do all the commandments. It's impossible for human nature to do this. And I don't know what happened with this man. We say goodbye, and this was everything. But I truly believe in the power of prayer, and I truly believe that God directs every moment And if you make yourself available to go or to pray, even if you are at your house and maybe you're cooking and maybe, but you feel your heart heavy for a country or for a city or for somebody, don't ignore the vibration that God is putting on your heart to pray. And I think it's a big mission. What we can do is to intercede for people, to intercede and to pray. Thank you very much.
As we can see, prayer is so important, and each one of us has our own stories of what we've done in the mission field, but also how God has worked through us. And even though we may not be in the mission field, even being missionaries here in Western Rhine, we can be that. And it's through prayer that we can be like this. And OM has three policies, or three ways of going into missions: pray, give, and go. I just want to thank you for those who pray for us as missionaries every day. It's what your prayers are coming with us on our journeys as we go out to the fields and meet with new people and finish the Great Commission. So thank you for that. OM has a prayer diary, which we send out 3 times a year, and it can give you specific prayers for people who you may not know personally or who didn't go through OM UK, but they are out in the field doing His work, and you can pray for this, and we have them at the back of the room. So please take them, and they can be sent to your house, but thank you for those who do. Another way is give. If you've been blessed, then use your money for God's work. Use it for something that will make you a part of it, but also make someone else's work so they can do more and more for Him, and that you feel you're a part of this and that you can join the mission field. Because for some of us, going out to South Africa or Chile or somewhere, we can't do this. But some of us can go and speak with these people and find out more about them, or give to them and help them do more work so they can carry on working. So that's another way. The other way is going. And we can go and literally go to Romania, to Argentina, to the ship, all over the world. OM is in over 110 different countries. So you could literally travel. And we have long and short term mission trips, gap years, 2 weeks, 6 months, 2 years, 10 years, the ship. We have all this information at the back, so please come and speak to us. There's also books on people's journeys in different parts of OM, so please, we'd love to speak to you. But being part of OM is amazing. And we want everyone to be involved in somehow, even if it's just praying. Praying is so powerful, like you've heard from our stories. Each one of us has different stories, and the power of prayer gets us through every day. So thank you for having us here, but also for supporting us in our journeys as we continue to do, and be a part of it. We can all be a part of this. And our closing hymn is going to be number 595, Be Thou My Vision.
Great, thank you. We've come to the end of our service here this afternoon with you. Like Anna shared, do feel free to come to talk to us at the back. We have books for sale, and we have a number of opportunities of how you can get involved. We have brochures that you can pray for us about, because how do you know what to pray for if you don't know what to pray for, if that makes sense? And so we have brochures there which tell you what you can pray for to be specific with your prayers as well. And also we have information of missions that we get involved in the short term. We have a great thing for you young people called Teen Street, which you might be interested in as well. We have information about that. So let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father God, we thank you and praise you for all that you've done this morning. Thank you for Kevin's message and that how prayer is important. Heavenly Father God, I just want to pray that you'll really minister each one of us, and that we're really focused on prayer and putting you first in all that we do, and that we'll be focused and praying for things that would not happen if we don't pray. And so Father God, we just commit this week to you, and we just ask, you know, that your presence will be continued to felt in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.